Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means go out into the deep. A one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
I want to share a little bit with you today about Holy Week, because a lot of people that are believers, Christian believers, they go through the motions sometimes without really understanding enough about it. They don't understand a lot of why they do the things that they do. So, and also there's people out there that don't understand why we do what we do in the Catholic Church. So I'd like to touch on that some. And also I want to also share with you about restoration, restoring. The Lord has promised, and scriptures are filled with stories and promises of his ability to restore us, to make us strong again. And so I want to share some of that with you. Okay, so, but basically, there is a some background I would like to share with you first. In biblical history. Well, first of all, let me say what a pleasure it is to be with you today. I feel a little out of sorts because I'm not in the studio. I'm sorry, but I'm really happy to be with you. I'm happy to be in this week. You know, it's funny because they asked me if I wanted to take today off and just have a rerun. And I was thinking, you know, it's tempting because you're on vacation, want to just relax and forget about the everyday routines until you get back home. But I just really wanted to be here with you. It's a profoundly wonderful week in our church. And there's, you know, we're still in Lent until Thursday. So we still have some work that we need to be doing and praying and that sort of thing. But there's also a great deal of joy building in our hearts because, yes, it's a historical time. You know, it's got roots in history, but at the same time, it's ever new, ever new. So I wanted to say thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your contributions and your prayers, because this is a positive, it's a love action. This network is a love action for God and for you. So anyway, to move on, in biblical history, if you read Old Testament scriptures and the New Testament scriptures, God commanded the Jewish people, commanded them to observe festivals. And these festivals were made to remember major events in their history and also to remember how he had worked in their history. And these festivals were filled with extraordinary graces, and these graces made it as if those participating and celebrating were actually at the events, the historical events themselves. In other words, they received so much grace in observing these festivals as God commanded them to do, that it was as if they were there at the time. So the graces were magnified and made present to them that they would have received if they were actually at the events. For instance, Passover celebration, the Lord instituted that, and he says, you are to do this. And so it's celebrated when the angel of death passed over the Jewish homes that were marked with the blood of sacrificial lambs. So death did not come to their home. And this Passover event actually ended up being responsible for freeing them from the slavery in Egypt. And so they were to remember that, always to remember that. And then there were other festivals, and not just festivals of deliverance or that sort of thing, but there were festivals of gratitude and thanksgiving for harvest and for ingathering and storage of their harvests and that sort of thing every year in thanksgiving and gratitude for what God had provided for them and that they had the health and well-being to be able to plant and tend and harvest these things. A lot of festivals throughout the year, all instituted by God as ways to remember who we are. We are not God. He is God. And to help us to understand that even during times that aren't so great, not so joyous, to remember the times when they were and that God was with us and that we can really count on Him in the future, even in the hard times. So they, you know, He instituted these festivals. He instituted these celebrations, these times of thanksgiving and gratitude. For instance, as far as harvests go, there was the festival of harvest in the summertime and the ingathering, the festival of tabernacles in the fall. And there were certain things that were to be done, but it was a time of partying and enjoying time together. Right? It was not just all work and all worship. It was really a time of joyfulness. So anyway, we Catholic Christians, have festivals as well. We need to remember the significant events in Jesus' life and in the life of the church and in our own lives, personal lives. And so those festivals are called holidays and feasts and that sort of thing. And we're doing that in the same way that the Jewish people did. So it is all about remembering. I told you this before. The Jewish people have a saying, to remember is to live, to forget is to die. In remembering what God has done for us, we always have hope. We're always grateful to Him for His presence in our lives. In remembering what we have been able to do in the past, because of His enabling us and our ability to give back to Him and to others what we have received, is always good for society and for our own family. So it's always a remembrance of life and joy. So I want to share with you a few simple things about Holy Week, so that you can understand where we're coming from. But basically, yesterday was Palm Sunday. You see, I love, as I've told you before, the seasons of the church, the seasons of the year that the church celebrates, that are all tied to Scripture. And I didn't have that, a lot of those things. Of course, we had Christmas and Easter in the church that I was in before, but we didn't have, the church I was in did not focus on Advent or Lent or Christmas season or Easter season. You know, once those Christmas came and Christmas Day came and once Easter came, then that was it. But in the Catholic Church, we have a whole season of Christmas and we have a whole season of Easter and many other wonderful festivals that make life so rich. And one of the rich things I want to talk about today is Holy Week. Holy Week. Yesterday was Palm Sunday, where we celebrate Jesus' entry into Jerusalem at the beginning of the week, that he ends up being crucified. But he came into Jerusalem in a triumphal procession. The people came out to welcome him, and they thought of him as the Messiah, they'd been waiting for hundreds of years for. They welcomed him. They waved palm branches. Palm branches were used to greet royalty when they came into town. They were used when King David would come back from being away at war. They were used when Jesus came into the city as a welcoming of royalty, of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Messiah. And of course, these same people that welcomed him and couldn't get enough of him when he first came into the city, a lot of them were the same ones who were screaming, "Crucify him," at the end of that very same week. You know, we humans have a condition that it's part of the human condition that we can turn on, change our minds in a heartbeat. And we see that in the political arena today as well. But back then, it breaks my heart even more to think about, here was Jesus, who was the Messiah, who had spent months, well, 3 years actually, healing people, controlling weather, doing everything that a son of God could do. And everyone was on board with him except some people. But then the next thing you know, in 1 week, they turn on him. And so it's just very sad to me to think of what he went through and how, you know, we can have God himself in our midst and we can still find ways to be critical and nasty and reject him. So anyway, there's an article that I pulled that is by Heidi Booth, the USSE, from our Sunday Visitor. And I wanted to share with you. So this week, which began yesterday, the week between yesterday, Palm Sunday, and Easter Sunday is considered Holy Week, and it is absolutely the most sacred and holy time of the year on the church calendar. During this special week, we enter into the Passion of Christ, which is his crucifixion, his death, and his resurrection. Through various church celebrations and personal conversion experiences we have, that's how we celebrate this week. The season of Lent is a very important time in the church. It is helpful to remember that our Lenten practices of prayer, fasting, and charitable giving, which is called almsgiving, are meant as a preparation for the 3 days of the Triduum, which is coming up this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And we celebrate them the way the Jewish people did. It's Thursday evening to Friday evening, Friday evening to Saturday, Saturday and Sunday. So it is the Triduum, 3 days. Okay? So it's from dusk to dusk, and it ends. Lent officially ends, and the Triduum begins at dusk on Holy Thursday and continues through dusk on Easter Sunday. And we cannot separate Jesus' death from his resurrection. We cannot. So the church teaches that the Triduum is really one big celebration that lasts 3 days. So there's some sadness, and there's some waiting, and there's massive celebration. And that's what we commemorate in the Triduum. So anyway, the evening Mass on Holy Thursday begins the sacred Triduum. And on that night, we remember the Last Supper and celebrate the institution of the Holy Eucharist, you know, communion, and the Sacrament of Holy Orders, the institution of the priesthood, And at the end of our celebration on Holy Thursday night, our churches are stripped clean in preparation for the most somber of feasts, the saddest and most horrifying feast, which was Good Friday. The spirituality of the Triduum centered on the accounts of the Easter mystery in the Gospel of St. John. In his Gospel, the Last Supper is not the Passover meal. You know, that's where Jesus comes together with his disciples to celebrate Passover. But the Last Supper is not the Passover meal. Jesus is crucified at the time that the lambs were being slaughtered for Passover as a sign that he is the Lamb of God sacrificed for all of humanity. So on Holy Thursday night, that is when Jesus had his the Last Supper, where in a way they celebrated Passover, but it was not complete because it was his last speaking to them, and he instituted fresh things that night. It was a different type of meal. So, but later on, when he is crucified, it is at the very same time that the lambs that had been brought to the temple to be slaughtered for the Passover celebration. It was when they were put to death that he was put to death as a sign that he is the new lamb celebrated, sacrificed for all of humanity. So the last meal Jesus shares with his apostles in the Gospel of John is marked by the humble washing of feet. Jesus gets down on his knees in the dirt and washes the feet of his disciples, and in this way connects the Holy Eucharist with service of others, because it was instituted at the same time. So here's the Son of God serving those who serve him by washing their feet and humbly showing them what they are to do. He says, as I have done to you, you must do to one another. Okay? There was no pride and hierarchy of doing things in those moments. So most Holy Thursday celebrations include a modern-day experience of foot washing. This recalls Jesus' washing the feet of his apostles. It is a powerful example of how we are called to serve and care for one another. At our parish, we have the washing of the feet. The 12 parishioners are chosen, and if they so accept, they sit up front and the pastor washes their feet in imitation of Jesus. For all of us to remember what a humble and beautiful thing that was to do for us. So, it's also referred, Holy Thursday is also referred as Maundy Thursday, which means a new mandate, something new and important, which refers to the putting forth of Jesus in John 13:14. He says, I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. So he's instituted he's creating the priesthood in Holy Thursday evening, and he's also telling them and us that he has a new commandment. It's not just love your neighbor as yourself now any longer. It's love one another as I have loved you in that sacrificial and serving kind of way, loving and helping each other. And then Good Friday is a somber and sad remembrance of Jesus' crucifixion and death on the cross. It's a day of fasting and penance and a time to examine all of the places in our lives where we fail to follow Christ and fall into sin. It is like the icing on the cake of the Lenten season. We've already supposed to be doing these things and asking God, Lord, what do I need to change in my life, to cooperate with your grace, to become the person you created me to be, to get rid of the things that are displeasing to you, that are causing me heartache in my life and causing me to be weaker instead of stronger in my journey towards you and away from sin. We've already been doing that. And so this week is a final, you know, examination of the places that we still need to address and still need to cooperate with him to grow, okay? But it's not only a commemoration. Good Friday is not only a commemoration of the historical facts of what happened to Jesus and his crucifixion and death. Not just that. It's also, it's really about his sacrificial death on the cross, along with his glorious resurrection, which comprised the heart of our Christian faith, his sacrifice and resurrection. And in Hebrews 12:12, he says, let us fix our eyes upon Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. So let us focus our eyes upon Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, because of his great love for us, and knowing that he was going to repair the wide gulf that sin had created between man and God in the Garden of Eden. He knew he was going to be offering us to be able to be restored and repaired in our relationship with God. It gave him great joy. He endured the cross for our benefit. Okay? So, Good Friday is traditionally is a day of mourning, but there's and the prayer of consecration of the Holy Eucharist and all that is omitted from the service as a sign of what Christ's sacrifice on the cross really means. Good Friday, the Good Friday service is not a mass. It is a prayer service in where we get communion, but it is the communion that is given to us is consecrated on Holy Thursday night and kept over to Good Friday morning, because we don't have a full Mass on Friday, because that's the day that Jesus died, and it commemorates what the world was like without his sacrifice, without instituting the Holy Eucharist. So so Friday is a day of mourning, but the service is divided into a reading of the Passion in Scripture and a veneration of the cross, which is basically a showing of respect and gratitude for the cross that Jesus died on, and reception of the Holy Eucharist. So it's Christ's Passion is read from the Gospel of John and concludes with the prayers of the faithful offered for the universe. Unity of the universal church. The veneration of the cross is a time for the faithful to individually revere the cross and ponder the enormity of Christ's saving actions during that Friday. And the Holy Communion that's distributed, the priesthood along with the entire congregation. And at the end of that service, everyone leaves in silence. There's no joyfulness in that service. It's a commemoration of how horrible it was, how Jesus was abandoned and convicted of crimes he did not commit, how people that loved him one minute turned their back on him, how alone he was, how forsaken he was. And out of love for us, he endured it. He endured it out of love for us. And we need to ponder that. We need to ponder what he went through to save us, and sometimes to save us from our own self, you know? So any so sometimes parishes offer Stations of the Cross on Good Friday. But one of the things I love to remember is the verse from Romans 5:8. God clearly shows and proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. For us. And so on Good Friday, we remember those things. And we also are to, we only take one full meal that day because we are fasting on that day. It's a very holy day of fasting. Most of the time, we substitute fish cheese or something for meat. Instead, we give up meat. And then it's a solemn remembrance of our hunger for Christ and his everlasting sacrifice on the cross. Yep. So I am going to have to take a break in a minute. So I want to expand on this a little bit. And then when I come back, I'll talk to you about the Easter Vigil and Easter Sunday. And then I'm going to go into what Jesus was sent for and what he actually does for us. Okay? But basically, I remember when I came into the church in 1999, I participated in everything during Holy Week. Everything. I wanted the richness of all those graces. I wanted the richness of participating with my brothers and sisters in Christ and remembering what our brothers and sisters and the saints and everyone throughout Christian history has endured in the past and be one with them. Be one with them in the same way. By participating. And I really want to encourage you all that if you haven't participated in church, like the festivals and the feast and Holy Week and Easter and all of those things, I really want to encourage you to go to confession and participate this week in a fresh new way, in a fresh new way. In worshiping God and receiving the grace he wants to pour out on you to help you and restore you and to renew you in your faith. This is real stuff, y'all. Real stuff. He promises it, and he will give it to you if you will seek it. If you will say, I've had enough of my own way. I want to go back and get back right with the Lord. And let him show me what his way is and receive what he wants to give me. It's not like you're going to be a stranger to yourself. You're going to be the best version of yourself ever. Anyway, so please stick with me. Stay with me and rejoin me after this commercial break. God bless you all.
This is Pat Wally. I have been a faithful listener of In His Sign for almost 9 years, so it is with much gratitude and appreciation in my heart that I reflect on how my life has been blessed through this beautiful anointed ministry. I personally have been the recipient of many answered prayers and healings, not only for myself but also family and friends. You have been called, Kathleen, to speak all over the world. And wherever God sends you, the Holy Spirit uses you in amazing ways to touch the hearts and lives of God's hurting people through your extraordinary gift of healing. God bless you, Kathleen.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic Radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Hello, hello, welcome back. I'm Rita Heckling, your host for the next half hour. This past half hour, I was speaking to you about Holy Week and all of the graces that can come from that and why we do it and observe it. And hopefully you may have learned something new. But I want to take a quick break here to tell you that, to remind you that on Sunday, April 26th is our Wake Up America dinner. It will be held at Malvern Retreat House, and it includes a delicious dinner, a keynote address by Kathleen McCarthy, silent auction, drawing for raffle prizes. You'll get to meet the broadcasters, including me. It's really actually a lot of fun. We enjoy ourselves, and so I would really like to meet you and hope that you will show up. And if you want to attend, you may call 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. It just gives me for the day on Sunday, April 26th. It's one of our two major fundraisers. And if you want to just make a donation and not come, but it'd be a lot more fun if you would come and we could meet you. Or you can donate gift baskets or special prizes for the raffles and the auction that we can stay on the air. And we thank you for all your support in the past. But there's another retreat at Malvern. It is April 10th through 12th. It's the Divine Mercy Weekend at Malvern, and it's fantastic. It has, Kathleen will also be there, but it's, the Lord asks St. Faustina to have a festival, a feast day, on the weekend after Easter to celebrate his great mercy. And so that's what that is all about, is to celebrate that and to be together. And there's other speakers. And I don't have my list here because I'm away on vacation. I forgot to bring it. But please contact malvernretreat.com. Get more information about that. You'll click on the calendar and look for the retreat, Divine Mercy Retreat, that weekend, and you'll get all the information you need. But for the Wake Up America dinner, call 610-527-2906. Okay, so anyway, thank you for hanging in there with me. And I wanted to get back to Holy Week. I'm almost done with that. Good Friday is a solemn remembrance of what Jesus has done for us and how we hunger for him and how grateful we are. You know, it's a very holy day. And then the Easter Vigil, that's Saturday night, the night before Easter Sunday, but it's considered part of Easter Sunday because of, sundown to the next day. So it's the Easter Vigil is a restoration of the early church's tradition as part of the great celebration of Easter, where adults are baptized and confirmed in the faith. I joined the Catholic Church at the Easter Vigil in 1999, and it was one of the most remarkable, incredible events of my life. At our parish, some parishes do a short version, but our parish does the two-hour version of it. And when you're first coming into the church, it's not taken lightly that you are becoming a member of Christ's church. And so it's like there's nothing like it when you first come into the church. You'll never forget it. It's magnificent. Yes, it's long, but it's magnificent. And a lot of the people, the members of the church, come that night because they know how special it is to you who are coming in. But it's also special to them because it's a very holy commemoration of the resurrection. And the church is dark usually inside. You know, all the lights are turned off. And a candle is lit from a holy fire outside. And the Paschal candle is this big, huge candle. It's about 6 foot tall. And it's lit. And there's a procession into the church, into the dark. And everyone in the church has a candle. And all the Paschal candle is used to light each row of the pews. And then we light each other's candles, and it goes down all of the length of each pew, and the Paschal candle is put up in the front of the church, and it represents the light of Christ, how Jesus came into the world. He is the light of the world. After the darkness of, everything that happened in Holy Week, the darkness and his death, and he's laid in a tomb, and all that sadness and darkness, the resurrection comes, and the light of Christ lights up the world and lights up the churches. And it is a magnificently joyful occasion. And if you have never been to an Easter Vigil, I pray that you will do that this year. Make one last sacrifice of time, treasure, and talent, and go to the Easter Vigil and be there for that long, magnificent celebration of salvation history. It's the readings start from Genesis, and they come through to today. So it's really magnificent. So the Paschal candle that is lit at the Easter Vigil remains in the church throughout the year as a sign of Christ's death and resurrection, to remind us of the significance of the light, the resurrection after the death and in the tomb of Jesus. And Mother Teresa used to say, never let life get you so down and in darkness so much that you forget the resurrection, the light at the end of the tunnel. The light that Christ brought, still brings, and still provides through all through life. So those who are coming into full communion with the church receive the sacraments of initiation, is what they're called, at the Easter Vigil. And we, as the community of believers, participate in this initiation ourselves by renewing our own baptismal promises. Recommit ourselves to Christ by once again rejecting sin and accepting the freedom that comes from living as children of God. Sin no longer has the enslaving power that it had before we became Christians, before we were baptized. It is, we are given the graces from Jesus Christ through our baptism and the power of the Holy Spirit to reject sin. That doesn't mean we're perfect and we won't sin, but we do have the power given to us to reject sin. And God will help us with that always. So we pray at the Easter Vigil, and we welcome the new members of the church as they receive the oil of charism. They are anointed on their foreheads with the sign of the cross with charism oil, which is olive oil and a balsam perfume. It smells magnificent. Those of us who came into church in 1999 at the vigil did not wash our foreheads until the very next day because it's so beautiful, it's so moving to have that perfumed oil marked on us in the sign of Christ. It consecrates us. It seals you in the Holy Spirit and consecrates you to God for the rest of your life. You may walk away from Him, but He won't walk away from you. It consecrates and seals you as a child of the Most High God. And so it's powerful. So they receive the oil of chrism and sharing and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at confirmation. And they are given white garments to put over, you know, like a white robe to put over their clothing, which represents the purity and beauty of Christ's victory over death. Okay, and then the Triduum, which is that three-day period that I told you about, it's the culmination of the entire church year and the three most sacred days in the lives of Catholic Christians. It's a single holiday over three days, and it celebrates the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus because Jesus was willing to die for her sins and was resurrected. Death no longer is the end of life for us. Is the beginning of new life. You know, it's really funny because I went to confession one time and my husband was going through a bit of an awakening of how we don't live forever. You know, you think you do when you're young. You know, you think, oh, I've got decades ahead of me and I can live forever. Well, there's no guarantee of that. I mean, there was a young man on I-75 here in Florida that, 2 days ago, horrible accident. Jeep came across the median, hit his SUV, 25 years old, split his SUV in half, killed him and the two children in the car with him. There's no guarantees of tomorrow, young people. You know, you need to get right with God now and stay right with God. First of all, it'll make your life much richer now. And then you can also know that you can be in heaven with Him for eternity. But I went to confession. My husband was a little upset about the, when you get to be a certain age, you start realizing you don't have forever. You have to start getting prepared for, the end times, all the stuff you have in your house that you don't really use anymore, you got to get rid of that stuff. You don't want to burden your children with it if you can avoid that. And just all those sort of things. You start thinking about the end of your life and what do I need to do? And he was a little overwhelmed and sad about it. And so, I was talking to my confessor, my priest, confessor, and advisor about it. He says, what's he worried about dying for? We're Christians. We live forever. You know, we live forever in eternity. You know, our physical deaths are merely a passageway into eternal life. And so, share with him that, yes, we have to prepare for the end of this life, but we live forever. And hopefully we're living the right way and in union with the Lord so that we live forever in the good place. Don't be thinking that we can just, at the last minute, we can do whatever we want to do and live however we want to do and spit in God's face and then the last minute say, okay, I repent. first of all, you're cutting yourself off from the awesome graces that He wants to give you and the relationship you have with Him, where He whispers in your ear, beautiful things. It helps you make decisions and repairs and restores life for you. Don't cut yourself off from him. Please, please, this Easter season, get back, go and get right with him if you aren't, or get back with him if you have had a relationship in the past. He wants to love you in the way that you can't even imagine. You can't even imagine the joy and the love he has for you. I can attest to that. I was a Christian before I became Catholic, and, you know, Catholic Christian, and yet the joy that has come from being in union with the church and its history and the knowledge and spiritual maturity that you can get, there's no comparison. No comparison. Please, please dive in. Dive into the deep of the Catholic Church. There's no comparison anywhere in the world. I tell you from my own experience, there's nothing like it. So I encourage you to do that. So you know, on Easter Sunday, we celebrate the resurrection in union with each other. We worship God who loved us so much that even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Even while the world was dark and hopeless, Christ died to give us hope. That's what we do. And you know what? We need to do that. We need to remember that we are not God, that we are here because he created us, that he wants to be in union with us. He wants to love us. There's a love that comes from God that cannot be matched by any person or anything on this earth. And that's what you all hunger for. He created a void in our lives that only he can fill. And so when we say yes to him, he says, oh, thank you. Let me give you all this love I have in my heart. I've been waiting to give you. And there is no sin. And so this is the greatest restoration story ever told. God restoring his children through Christ. His children that he has always loved, who he formed in the womb. And he is there. And again, Scripture says he came to heal the brokenhearted. And we have to realize, we have to remember, Jesus himself experienced pain and rejection. So he knows exactly what it feels like to suffer. You can pour your heart out to him, whether it's in anger or sorrow. You can pour your heart out to him. He understands completely, both physically and emotionally, when we are in pain. He understands both of those things. Remember, he was abandoned, and he suffered greatly physically. He understands, so pour that out. He says he's here to cure, to heal the brokenhearted. He is. He is. He will help restore relationships, or at least find a way for you to be able to live with it and find new relationships if the old cannot be healed. And so, basically, he restores joy and peace. He loves you. Love him back. Go and give him a chance. Don't fight him. You will never, ever regret it. Get back in the church. Get back with him, in union with him this weekend. God bless you. Until we're together again, pray for me. Pray for our station. We are praying for you. God bless you richly. See you later. Bye-bye.
Of you as your prayer.